We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike Chinn, let's ride!
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 10 o'clock. We got a full boat show. And what's great about tonight's show is that we have a bunch of guests that are going to be on. We do this all the time. It's guest week. All-Star Week is guest week on the show. And last night was really great. You can check it out on 670thescore.com. I can't say enough nice things about the interview with Sierra Santos. It was incredible. I've said it on Twitter. There is a top five interview that I've ever done. So you should check it out for sure. I think that you will really enjoy it. Here's what we have planned for you tonight. Coming up on the show, we are going to talk with Julie and Maggie, Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks. They'll be on with me in the 9 o'clock hour. Vincent Goodwill will be on the show, and I'm sure he will blaspheme about Scottie Pippen and the Jordan-led Bulls. We're going to yell at each other, I suspect, between 8 and 9 o'clock. Tonight, we'll talk with the Dee and Davis Show. If you haven't heard them yet, they're fantastic, and you'll want to stick around. They're an interesting pair, and I love their podcast, so I'm excited to get them in here. We usually talk with them a couple times a year, but to get them in here is going to be a ton of fun. Alicia Roman will join me around 6:30 tonight. She's going to come and hang out. We'll talk weather, and I'm sure we'll talk Pittsburgh as well. I don't know how many calls we'll be able to take because we have a bunch of guests that are coming in studio, but glad that you're hanging out. You can follow me on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes. It's also where you can follow me on Instagram as well. I'm excited for our first guest because I think that she's already become a star. I think that she's going to be a mega star in this business and going to be that for a really long time. So I'm happy to have her here in studio of SNY Network, Taylor Rooks here in the building. What's up, kid?
Well, hello. That was such a nice introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, I got it from you, from watching all of the sit-downs that you do with Time Out with Taylor.
Thank you.
You always bring people in the right way, so I wanted to make sure that I brought you in the right way.
You did a fantastic job.
Now, you used to be at Big Ten Network.
Yes.
And I want to talk to you about Big Ten, obviously. My executive producer, Herb Lawrence, he has been granted Illini status, even though he did not go to the University of Illinois.
We welcome in with open arms. Well, we need as many fans as possible.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
but Stephen Bardo grandfathered him in. So okay. I feel like if Stephen allows you in, then you're in.
I would agree with that. That is somebody who just kind of has that status. If they say you're in for life, I'd say.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be back in Chicago.
I know.
I missed it so much. You know, I was living in Chicago for 2 years, obviously living in Illinois for six. So many good food spots I had to make sure I returned to. Harold's, Sunda, Batter and Berries, Big and Littles.
I love that you kind of went bad and bougie with your whole like food thing. You're like, oh, let me go to Sunda, but let me also go to Harold's while I'm here.
Let me get the 7 piece with extra mild sauce because that was very important to me to get when I came back.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you made it. What's the biggest difference between living in Chicago and living in New York?
Oh, geez. I mean, everything in New York is larger than life. It doesn't matter what it is. If there's a story happening in New York, we're talking about it for 80 weeks, and it's the biggest thing that's happening in the world. There's also a lot of people. That's one thing I miss about Chicago is even though it's a city, you still have that homey vibe, you know? You know, you've got like a river running through the city, and it just makes it seem so much more Like, it's a city, but it's kind of has a suburban feel, and I miss that. It's homey. New York is not homey, no matter where you are. But I do believe you can make New York small. So there's just a lot of little differences.
You're a Georgia girl, but you have no accent. Does it kick in when you go back down south?
No, because so I'm from the suburbs. You know, I'm not from like the country part of Georgia. But also my family's from the Midwest. So the people I was growing up with aren't saying, you know, that having that Southern drawl. I do say little things like y'all. Y'all is a major part of my vocab, but in New York, they think it's almost bad grammar. To me, it's the most correct word you could ever say. But I've never really had a Southern accent, which I'm thankful for. I think it's kind of hard to kick once you already have it.
Yeah, it is. But I also find it, and maybe now we're in a place in broadcasting where that room for individualism is okay.
Definitely.
That there's a space where, because, you know, you're young, but there used to be, they would stamp that out. Like, if you had an accent, they were like, you need to have an Ohio accent. You need to have a middle of the country accent, or you can't work in this business.
Definitely. And I think that's one of the cool things about the media and the way that it's going is because it's so personality driven now. I think networks want people to have kind of their own character and their own perspective, and like they want the way that they genuinely act to reflect on television as well. And I think in a lot of ways you've just been stuck in this idea that you have to talk like a reporter. But when you really look at that, it's like, what does a reporter sound like? And also, why do we feel like that's what a reporter should sound like? And there's a lot of kind of different layers to that. So it's good that they're allowing people to just be themselves and not feel like they have to fit a specific mold. And I think that that makes a lot of media just a better place for everybody to be in.
Who came up with the idea for Time Out with Taylor?
Me. Yeah, me. One summer, it was 2 summers ago, before I even had the SNY job. And, you know, when I was at the Big Ten Network, I didn't work in the summer. So I'm really bored, and I'm thinking I want to do something so that I'm still, you know, working and doing something in the news, trying to create some type of news. And I just said, I'm going to do a podcast. So I did the podcast, and then maybe 2 months after I started doing the podcast, I got the job at SNY. And then like 6 months being into SNY, I asked, you know, as I started a podcast before I got the job, can I bring it back? Can we do this? And they said, yeah. So I book it, I host it, I produce it. I do everything for the podcast.
Was it always video or was it only audio at the beginning?
In the beginning, it was me and my computer and a little app and a blue mic. And I recorded people for the podcast through like Skype audio. It was the most bootleg setup ever. I always tell people, like, my very first guest in the podcast was Tyrod Taylor. And I do the interview. It's like 30 minutes. I thought it was pretty good. I go back and listen to it, and it did not record.
Oh.
So 30 minutes of interviewing him, it did not record. I had already promoted. I'd already had people sending questions. So I, like, call him back. And I'm like, I feel really bad, but this did not record. Is there any other time this week we could do a totally new podcast? He was great about it. We redid it. It worked. But so, yeah, definitely a couple fails in the beginning. But we're here now.
So now you've got the video aspect of it. How conscious are you of how you look on the podcast? Because I feel like whenever I'm doing something on television and you're talking to someone else, like, you're so focused on the other person that you're not necessarily worried. Like, how do you approach that?
Well, so it was actually, it's kind of a loaded question for me, because one of the reasons it was important for me to do a podcast was because I wanted it to be about me talking and what I was saying. I didn't want it to be about what I look like on TV or my outfit or people just making ridiculous comments about me. So when I do the podcast, we only put like 2 minutes of video up to promo the podcast, but to listen to it, it's supposed to be all audio and everything like that. But we put like the best part of the podcast up on video to make people go listen to the audio aspect of it. And that was more so because, especially with social media, when you do anything, especially when you're a woman and you post it, the focus, for whatever reason, because people are insane, it's never on what you're talking about. It's on you. And so that's why I said I want this to be about my voice and the questions that I'm asking and what I'm saying. And that was why, to me, it was important to do something that was so audio-based that you kind of had no other choice but to just listen to it. And obviously, the videos sometimes still suck because people still say ridiculous things. But I try my hardest not to make that the focus of it. But in a lot of ways, regardless of what I'm doing, where I'm at, whether it's video or not, I'm going to be who I am. And I just feel as though it's not necessarily my job to make people feel comfortable. if you aren't adult enough to listen to what I'm saying and not what I look like or what everybody is, you know, the jokes everybody is making, then
the
that's
memes.
More, yeah. That's on you. People love making me a meme, so I'm trying to get past that. But like I said, it reaches a point. There's not really much like you can do. I can be myself, and you know, I'll wear a turtleneck and pants, and it's like, oh, look at what she looks like. And it's just trying to get past that. That is probably the most irritating thing. But that isn't a me problem. That's a you problem, and it's not my responsibility to fix that for you. And that's kind of what I tell myself.
How do you think it's affected how you're viewed in the industry when it comes to the effect that people have with, well, she looks this way or she dresses like this? Do you ever feel like that it's compromised what your subjects think of you? Or do you think once you open your mouth, it's all good?
Yeah, no, not at all. I think at this point, agents and managers reach out to me to have their people on the podcast, because one thing that's special about the podcast is I get people to really, really open up. People talk about things that are absolutely ridiculous. They talk about things that they've never said. They get very deep and they get incredibly introspective on the podcast. And it's everybody else that's so focused on how I look. You know, it's not me. It's not the person that I'm interviewing. It's like social media. And that doesn't bother me, because the people that it matters, the people that it really matters what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, they're listening to what I'm saying, what I'm talking about. You know, I don't really care what Joe Schmo on Twitter with an egg profile photo has to say about the interview, because I know I do incredibly good work. And at this point, it's like people are so focused on how I look and saying, oh my God, like people want to go on our show because they think she's pretty. It's like, I am so good at my job that you think I have an advantage. Like you think I have an advantage because it's so unbelievable to you that this is happening to me. So I'm fine with that. I've always been a person that it truly doesn't matter to me what people say, because I know myself and everybody I work with knows me and my friends know me, my family know me. But no, the way I look, I don't think has anything to do with my work, and it's everybody else that kind of makes it a topic of conversation.
Taylor Rooks is here in studio. You can follow her on Twitter at Taylor Rooks, R-O-O-K-S. I am going to be an example of the question that I'm getting ready to ask you. So just
okay.
How do you deal with everyone getting into your business? because people will be in your business. And yeah. When you're in New York, the fact that there is a whole column in the New York Post about you, I think is fascinating. Were you ready for that type of scrutiny when you moved to New York?
You know, I feel like people say this and don't like necessarily, I don't know. How do I explain this? I'm a person, it truly doesn't matter to me what people say. So it's not something that I was thinking about. And I would also caution people to not believe everything that they read and not believe every storyline ever that pops up. That's more so what I learned with the whole situation. But
so it never bothers you?
No, I mean, I think maybe it's annoying, but it's not bothersome. I mean, I am literally just like every other person on the earth, and I do the same things that every person on the earth does, but for whatever reason, people care about it when I do it. But I'm not doing anything different than anybody. And I think that that's what people don't understand about maybe people in the public eye or whatever it is. Because to me, I don't even think I'm in the public eye. I don't think people should even really care about what I'm doing. I'm really not that interesting. But for whatever reason, we care so much about other people's lives. And I don't really understand. You know, if you go out in public with somebody, that means you guys are
together
in love, mm-hmm. You know?
You can't just.
I'm doing the same thing everybody is doing. So,
I mean, I've actually ran into this a little bit over the last couple of days. I had two of my colleagues from NBC Sports Chicago on, Sierra Santos and Layla Rahimi. And whenever I bring a female sports journalist in, it's immediately because, oh, well, you're attracted to her. So that's why that person is going to be on your show. And I'm like, I'm attracted to their work.
Yeah.
So I like what they do. So why wouldn't you want to hear from someone who has perspective on things and maybe that you don't? Like, I like talking to interesting people. So I get it to a much lesser degree than what you get. I mean, the attachments that people give you on, oh, she's dating such and such, or I think is fascinating. And the fact that you have been able to to navigate this is really an accomplishment, because a lot of other people would have gone off on somebody by now.
I mean, people say like, okay, why don't you tweet something? Why don't you say whatever? It's because it's my life and it isn't really anybody's concern. Whether it's me saying it's true or saying it's false, I don't owe that to anybody. I think that's more so what I've learned about being in this, is I don't really owe anybody anything. And nobody owes me anything. If you don't like me, great. You know, if you like my stuff, fantastic. I love that. I am so open to all opinions. I'm open to you saying, hey, I hated what you said on air last night. I'm open to you saying I loved it. I'm open to you saying, you know, you maybe should do like this differently. I'm a journalist, so I like talking to people. I like hearing people have to say. There is nothing you'd say that would change my view of myself, so I don't understand why I would care about it. That's the thing I stress. We are all the exact same. We just have different jobs. And I just think people forget that, and they care so much about other people's lives. I just want everyone on earth to be happy and feel fulfilled with whatever it is that they're doing. And I just think it's harder to navigate when you're a reporter, when you're a sports reporter, when you're a woman, and everybody wants to kind of put you in a box. But I'm past that. I'm incredibly at peace.
I watched a bunch of the latest pods, and I enjoyed you and Maria Taylor, because I thought there was some incredible advice in there. And I was hoping that, if you don't mind, like, sharing some of it. When you were talking with Maria about what she didn't know before she started doing sideline, you told an anecdote about how you thought that sideline reporting, like, you were just going to, you know, say what was going on in the game, and didn't realize like how much prep needed to go into it. When did that light kind of click on for you and you upped your prep game?
Oh, after the first game. Like, after the first game, I said, all right, we're going to have to really hone in on this. And I did. But I also learned a lot about what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do. I know that I don't want to be a sideline reporter. I enjoy hosting. I enjoy being in the studio. There's clearly nothing wrong with being a sideline reporter. It just wasn't my niche. That isn't what I felt like I was meant to do in the journalism space. I love people. So I like getting to know them and talking to them and interviewing them and trying to have like an established connection and having them open up and it feels in a safe interview environment. And that is prep I enjoy so much, because I think even more than being in like the sports business, I feel like I'm in the people business. And so if I can learn a lot about a person, that's what I feel is my purpose in journalism. But I have so much respect for great sideline reporters, because it's a lot. And having to, you know, run across the field and talk to the coach and talk to the player and know exactly what's happening and have your questions ready. And there's so much prep the week before, because you need to have so many stories ready. You know, if Joe Schmo, the receiver, gets a touchdown, you need to have some really good content on him that you got that week. And people don't respect that craft enough. People think you just go in there, you ask a question, and you're done. It is so much work. Maria works harder than anybody that I know. Her travel schedule is grueling. Like, the knowledge that she has on college football is amazing, because she has to know like everything about everything. You know, she's working on ESPN for like one of their best shows. You have to be on your game all the time. It's just funny. I think people have such a skewed view of like what actually goes into journalism. Like, I think you just go on the TV and read a prompter, and that's just not what it is. So if anything annoys me, it's probably that. It's what people think you're doing. It just isn't what you're doing at all. But yeah, Maria is fantastic, and she absolutely killed college football last year. So I'm excited to watch her this year.
You make your bones doing sports.
Yes.
Considering your family, was there ever a, I don't want to do sports because I'm around sports all the time?
No. It's always, I think, just kind of felt really natural to me. And like I said, I like people. So it wasn't necessarily about like doing sports or not. It was just following the thing that I felt was my passion, you know? I think if I didn't like sports, I'd get kicked out of the house or something. But it's why I had to go to Illinois.
Well, when you're Illini royalty, I would hope
not
that,
even a little bit.
Well, I would hope that. I mean, the Rook's name plays real well down in Champaign. So
it was the best experience. Illinois is the greatest school. It's the best 4 years of my life. I had so much fun.
So how can you fix Illini football? Go. 60 seconds, go.
If you can, whoever has this answer can also like fix world peace and like everything on earth. And please, if you do know, tell me. I want it to be good. I want to at least, like, let's get to the NCAA tournament. Let's do something. Like, let's go to the college football playoff at least once in my lifetime. It'd be fantastic. But I hope we can get there. I really do. We're lagging behind.
So let me ask you, which gets fixed first? Illini football or Illini basketball? Which one finds
basketball.
Itself? You think they'll get to the postseason before football does?
Basketball. I mean, a bowl, maybe football, but like the college football playoff is not
long
happening.
Way away.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you just want to get to the postseason, you want them to win six games, that may happen. But I think that basketball is going to have greater success quicker than football will.
I always love to ask people who go around, and we're talking with Taylor Rooks. You can follow her on Twitter at Taylor Rooks, R-O-O-K-S. Timeout with Taylor, by the way, is phenomenal.
Thank you.
People should watch that and check it out because you get the news. The Meek Mill interview was dope.
Thank you.
It really, really was. But anyone who travels covering sports, I love to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
What were your favorite places to go? Like favorite stadiums, favorite fan bases that you dealt with? And did you have like some built-in bias? Like you're an Illini, so you're like, man, I really don't want to go to West Lafayette. I don't want to go to Bloomington.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed University of Wisconsin. I really like Ohio State. But I never really had biases because even like when I was a freshman, I started doing this stuff with journalism. So I never really experienced being an Illinois fan. I'd be happy maybe if they won, but I was never rah-rah because I was supposed to be quote-unquote impartial, even though, you know, you're never fully impartial. But yeah, as far as Big Ten schools, I really liked Wisconsin. I really liked Ohio State. Those are probably my favorites. I love Busch Stadium just because we're big Cardinals fans. Never went to cover a game there. But yeah, those are probably my two favorite Big Ten schools.
What about now that you've had a chance to expand out a little bit? Is there any place that you have gone or maybe you'd like to go and experience?
Well, just as a Falcons fan, being from Georgia, I have not yet been to Mercedes-Benz.
Oh.
I love the Georgia Dome. I'm so sad that they switched from the Georgia Dome, but Mercedes-Benz. But I'm going to a couple games next season. We have season tickets, so I'll experience that.
There's something that's kind of, like, I like it, like something grimy about the Georgia Dome. You know what I mean?
There's just so much history there. I hate that we moved, you know, stadiums, but it'll be okay. I'm more concerned with us like getting back to the Super Bowl and not blowing it again.
Yeah, you had made a statement to Malcolm Jenkins about how you still have the Tom Brady nightmare.
Honestly, I almost didn't want him on the podcast because I was jealous, you know. But whatever. I don't think I ever am going to have a Patriot on the podcast. That may be my number one rule.
So, all right. So come on, Taylor. You got to be real with me. You telling me if Tom Brady's people are like, listen, Tom wants to be on the podcast.
No, I'm exaggerating. Of course, Tom Brady. But I would not be happy about it.
Well, you have to tell him. Like, you have to be upfront.
It'd be the first thing I say. Like, you're on the podcast, but we're not friends.
Take me back to 28-3. Take me back to where you were, like how you were interacting with people while this is going on.
Let me put it this way. I bought tickets to go home for the parade. I bought airplane tickets to go home for the parade. Obviously, there was no parade. I still went home, and it was still fun to be with my family, but that's how sure I was. I mean, I'm thinking I'm a Super Bowl champion. I'm sending text messages.
Oh, so you were talking trash.
I mean, who wouldn't be talking trash 28-3? I was so sure. It was devastating. It was so devastating. And there's so many things that had to go perfectly for the Patriots, and they did. So even when they get close, I'm like, oh, they're not going to score here. Oh, they're not going to get a two-point conversion. And just everything happened right. I didn't even, right when it went to overtime, I turned it off because I knew.
Oh, wow.
I knew it was over. I knew. It was just...
Were you watching with a group or was this one of those? Because sometimes.
No, I went by myself.
That's what I thought.
100% by myself.
There are a lot of games like that where, like, you think it's a great idea to have a Super Bowl party or whatever, but there are some games that if it involves your team, I want to be alone in the chair in the dark.
Yes.
Watching this thing.
It was just me. I'm into it, yelling, screaming, happy. I mean, elated. Then it just all kind of went down the drain. So, I had Muhammad Sanu on the podcast and he was saying, like, how often he thinks about it. And I can't imagine. Like, they went into that locker room at halftime thinking it was a wrap. And that's probably what went wrong. They thought they won. And so they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit because they're up so much. But you can never take your foot off the gas when you're playing Tom Brady.
Remember that third down play that they had called, like, right before things got real bad? And I'm
yeah.
like, why aren't the Falcons running the football?
Exactly. It was a lot of it was on the OC, but I'm trying not to live in the past, but it was bad. I mean, even watching this past Super Bowl, I still thought
moment.
The Patriots
sure.
were on it. It wasn't until Tom Brady with the strip sack was I like, wait, maybe this is actually over. And it, because when they got the ball back and they had a little under two, that's more than enough time for Tom Brady to make something happen.
There's no doubt about it.
I was positive that the Patriots were still going to win. And I'm very happy for the Eagles because it's just anybody other than the Patriots winning.
It's funny how we all kind of made that deal. Like
yeah.
everyone who wasn't
was
a Patriots
America
fan.
It was America versus the Patriots.
That's exactly what it was. It was like, you know, we kind of don't like the Eagles either.
Yeah.
But in this particular case,
right.
we'll allow ourselves to root for them if they can take mm-hmm. down Brady and Belichick.
And such a great story, like with Foles. It was a storybook. It was really destiny for the Eagles to win. So I'm happy for them. I really, really am.
Who's on your wish list to get on the podcast?
Ooh, Serena Williams. I am obsessed with Serena Williams. That's the person that I always say when people ask me. I think it'd be cool to have like Allen Iverson.
That would be dope.
Of course, people like, you know, Michael Jordan, that'd be fantastic. Those are the three that really, really come to mind. But if you said, okay, right now you could have anybody in the world on the podcast, I would say Serena.
I got a tweet from, this is after Serena made it to the final. And someone said, just tweeted at me, you know, is Serena Williams the greatest athlete of our generation? And I said, you can't have the discussion without mm-hmm. her. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like, you know, maybe it's LeBron, maybe it's Tiger, but you can't have the discussion without Serena Williams
I
being a part of it.
I completely agree. And if we're just looking at pure dominance over their field, I mean, it's clearly Serena. Like, just somebody who has manhandled everyone. She's far and away the best. And, like, there's not a debate about Serena. There's maybe, you know what I mean? There may be debates about
that. Right, you could be Jordan or LeBron.
Yes, it's Serena or Serena.
You can be Tiger or Jack. You can,
yeah.
but it's who's the greatest women's tennis player?
Serena.
Like that's it. Like,
that's it. And that's really all I need to know. She is fantastic. Just she is Superwoman, and I just think in so many ways she is a role model. She is a warrior. She is like now this huge advocate for moms. Just everything about her is so pristine, and I just want to meet her one day. Maybe she's listening.
Maybe.
Serena.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt
Wishful
it, but I hope
thinking.
So.
Wishful thinking.
Taylor, thanks so much for being here. I know you squeezed us into your schedule, so I truly appreciate it.
I am more than happy to be here.
Because you were on a list of people that I wanted to interview, so I'm glad that you were able to make time, and I'm really impressed with what you've already done and what you're becoming, because I think that, you know, if people are thinking, oh, well, you know, someday Taylor will be doing sports, like, I see you more as Robin Roberts. I see you end up, like, on the Today Show or something like that, like, really breaking it all down.
I appreciate it. Hey, we'll see. Who knows where the wind will blow.
That's Taylor Rooks. Watch her podcast. It's great. Time Out with Taylor. Follow her on Twitter, @TaylorRooks. We're going to take a break. Our friend Alicia Roman is in the house. I haven't even talked to her about, because I'm sure she has some feelings about the Eagles, being the Steelers fan. I'm sure she's got some thoughts on that. So we'll do that next here on The Score. That was a lot of fun talking with Taylor Rooks. And I want to give a shout out to our guest now, Alicia Roman, who is joining me here in studio. I appreciate you, friend, because we were scheduled to do the whole hour
yeah.
and, you know, we could only get Taylor in from 6 until 6:30, and you were nice enough to be like, it's totally fine.
No worries. Who knows what will come out of my mouth in an hour?
That's true. We've been through this before.
Yes. Craziness will come out of my mouth in an hour.
Alicia Roman, you can check her out on Channel 5, Taking Care of Weather. You can follow her on Twitter @AliciaRomanNBC. Hey, friend.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm well. Just getting through summer. Summer's been great so far here. We've had a lot of warm weather, and I think a lot of people are either happy about it because, you know, our winters here are pretty miserable. I was just looking back through my Instagram, and I saw a photo that I posted in April of snow. I forgot about it. And that's just miserable, snow in April. So I'm okay with the heat and humidity. that we've been having. Well, today's not bad, but the last couple of days, yeah, I'm
okay. Did you see how I picked like the perfect weather day to bring you in?
To bring me inside? I mean, instead of doing this outside, let's go inside.
Well, the last time that we were on together, it was that ridiculous snowstorm that stopped the Cubs from playing.
Yes.
And we were talking about like how the impact of weather on the Cubs beginning of the season was incredible. I wonder now if you realize how much power weather people have. And now here's why. Because the laws are changing around the country, mm-hmm. where sports betting is going to be legal in a lot of places. There are going to be tons of a different audience now tuning in to see what your weather report is,
yeah.
because of the effect that it might have on a particular game.
On the game. I never even thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
People are going to be tuning in on
Channel 5 for sure.
Here's the pitch.
Okay.
You take this to Frank and say, hey, we need to do some sort of sports and weather thing.
Yes.
You and Siafa, like, record it, and then, you know, because the gamblers are going to be around and they're going to want to know stuff.
That would be good. Me and Siafa teaming up, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good stuff.
That's a high power team right there, regardless. Just put the camera on you both and let it ride. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
were you watching the World Cup?
Oh, listen. Okay. So I had to take some vacation time because I had a lot. So I took about 11 days, which was actually the first 2 weeks of the World Cup. I watched pretty much every single game of the whole entire World Cup.
Really?
I sure did. I was impressing my husband and all his friends because I was saying, oh, blah, 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 about this and yada, yada, yada about that. And they were like, what? I'm like, listen, I've watched a lot of soccer the past 2 weeks.
Well, the family that you married into is very soccer oriented.
100%.
And Uruguay did okay.
They did. We wanted them to do a little bit better, but, you know, we were very happy. You know, I think the whole Cavani getting hurt and out that game kind of really, it just shows you the power of a player for a whole team, you know, like just him being out and missing that game. It just, I mean, I know France was really great. They were playing France. France obviously won. They were fantastic.
So
that whole
fast.
Lineup is just amazing. But I mean, I wonder if Cavani was in that game. I wonder how, you know, what it would have been like.
See, now I'm thinking soccer expert Alicia Roman. That's what I'm thinking next year. Not that there'll be a world. Well, the women's. We could talk the women's World Cup,
yes,
next year about this. It'll be a lot of fun. But I love how, like, now you're, like, confident in your soccer talk.
So let me just tell you a little bit of history. When I worked in Indianapolis, that was when the 2010 World Cup started. I worked with a couple people who were very into soccer, and they kind of started throwing me. I mean, I never knew really much about it. So then they, you know, we would go out and we would watch, and I kind of got into it. Then I moved here, and then I was with, you know, Nick. We were together in 2014.
And he's soccer crazy.
Yeah. And so, but USA, Italy, and Uruguay were all in it. And like, those are our teams because, you know, his parents were born in Italy, but his dad left Italy and grew up in Uruguay. So, I mean, what is your number one team out of all of them? The three? Would you pick Italy over Uruguay?
You better say USA.
Well, obviously USA, but Italy first and then Uruguay, or Uruguay first? Italy first, he picks over Uruguay. But I think his dad would be Uruguay first, then Italy.
My man Vito, I love him.
We know you do.
We just get each other.
We need, you know what, next time I come in, maybe give me a little bit, you know, bit more notice, and we'll bring Vito in. Vito Scafietto.
I would love for it. Like, I feel like we would just be hugging each other, though.
Probably.
Like, the whole time.
He'd be over there with you, just rubbing your head, kissing your head. Oh, love you, Lawrence. He totally would.
I think that's what would happen.
I
think it would be a whole lot of fun, too. How is the television game going these days?
You know what? It's great. It's great. Still, you know, doing weekend evenings, working 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, doing the 11 o'clock. My days off are Thursday, Friday. And I will say, if you have to work the weekend, the best days to have off, I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. the best days to have off during the week are Thursday, Friday. So, I mean, I can't complain. It's great. You know, I work with wonderful people at NBC. If anybody, you know, has ever wondered about any of the anchors or the reporters at NBC, they are all fantastic. And we all get along.
Awesome. I'm enjoying the superhero team up with you and Marion.
Oh, I love her.
You guys have so much fun.
We do. Can you imagine a talk show? First of all, Siafa and I. And then if Marion and I had a talk show. So we had this, every Wednesday we do a little Facebook Live and we call it This and That with Marion and Alicia. And last week, I don't know what happened, but somehow it got deleted. But last week, Marion just went off on all the soccer players and how hot they are.
Oh, really?
And like, there's Marion talking about Kylian Mbappe, who is not even 20. It was amazing.
Is he 18? 19 years old.
Yeah.
I remember not this past World Cup, but the one before it. Cristiano Ronaldo was on the cover of Men's Health magazine with his shirt off.
Oh, right.
So I'm reading the magazine at the house, and my mother goes, Who is that beautiful man?
Oh gosh.
And so my father was like,
Who are you talking about?
Yeah. What's that all about? And so I said, so there's Cristiano Ronaldo. Some people regard him as the greatest soccer player in the world. And she's like, He's beautiful. So I understand it. Like those guys, soccer guys, and you know, because you kind of married a soccer guy. Those guys are the best bodies.
They like, do. Listen to me all mumbles over here. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. They do. They're all right.
So we need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more with Alicia Roman. We're hanging out with her for a few more minutes. The Dee and Davis boys are in the house. I see them already. It's fun. Guest week is so fun. We continue after this on The Score. I am hanging out with Alicia Roman of NBC5. You can check her out on Twitter at Alicia Roman NBC. And I'm glad that she's in the house. Because we go back a ways.
We do.
We go back like rocking chairs. So it's good to have you here. Okay. So what's the biggest complaint that you get from viewers?
I've been blessed recently because it hasn't been too much, but I will say the biggest complaint we get, everybody wants their town on our map for temperatures.
I would never expect that's a thing.
That's a thing. So, like, I mean, and I love everybody from everywhere, but some people, you know, when we try to get at least one city from every county, you know, that we have, but if their town or city isn't on there, they're like, well, why can't you tell us the temperature? And it's like, we have a map that zooms in and I try to show that at least once broadcast, but we can't get everybody's town. There's a lot of cities here.
For sure.
You know, in Northeast Illinois, Northwest Indiana. And I mean, that's probably one of the most consistent complaints we get.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I am fascinated by that.
Mm-hmm.
So you actively do try to go, okay, well, we had Tinley Park in.
Yeah.
So let's put...
I have to do that by family obligation.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't do that, it could be some real smoke out there for you, and we definitely don't want that. But you have to then go, all right, we did Tinley Park, so now we have to do Oak Forest today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I like zoom in, I try to pick out I try to pick out different towns so I don't, you know, eliminate anybody. I mean, today at noon or 11, I was, you know, giving the forecast for Ottawa. You know, a lot of people, where's Ottawa? That's LaSalle County. That's far southwest of here. And, you know, just because you got to give everybody some love. So I apologize if we can't give everybody love, but I try to at 11 every day. I really do.
That's good. I appreciate it. I'm always struck by how nimble weather people have to be. Because it's not like you're really reading off a teleprompter.
No, it's all from our head. It's like we give a PowerPoint presentation every single day.
Multiple times a day.
And we do our own research. We figure out what the weather's going to be. And then we have, like, I have two sheets. I draw pictures and graphs and stuff. And there's numbers all over the place. And then as I'm doing that, it's all going into my brain. And then I just get out and there's no teleprompter. I actually look at a mirror image of myself and I say the words. And funny thing, because we were just talking during the break about multitasking, while I'm talking to you about the weather, I'm actually thinking ahead to my next maps because I know what's coming next.
And you have a clicker in your hand.
I have a clicker. So I'm on one map, let's say, about the temperatures, but I'm already thinking about two maps ahead, which is maybe our Stormcast map that's going, you know, 2 days down the road. And I'm already thinking about that, like, how am I going to set this up? And a lot of times, too, I'm thinking about, this dress does not look good on me, or, oh, I should not turn that way. I'm doing all that in my head. It's crazy.
Are you you're your own talent and own director?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in with me, but I mean, I have a director in my ear, obviously, telling me how much time I have left. You know that. But I mean, I'm my own producer. I'm my own spokesperson. You know, I just do everything myself.
The map drawing, is that something that you would say is a requirement, or is that the way that you learn?
That's how you learn. So, I mean, with the computer systems that we have, you know, you learn how to work it and manipulate it and make the maps that you want. And a lot of times we make our maps from scratch. You know, it's just a black screen, and then we have to put layer upon layer upon layer upon layer on top of it to get the maps that we have.
How long does that take?
It takes a long time.
Because I would see you, like, you know, when I was doing weekends, you'd come in, like, super early, and I'm like, Alicia knows what the weather's going to be. Why is she here?
It's just building graphics. So, and especially, too, if, you know, let's say you're tag teaming, like, let's say there's a weather event, and I'm on in the mornings with Andy, or I'm on in the evenings with Brant. You know, I have to manipulate my own maps. Like, let's say there was, you know, a tornado outbreak. I have to make those maps that show where the tornado tracks were and all that stuff. So, yeah, you have to come in early to make all that.
You are an admitted science geek.
Yeah.
You've said that on this show multiple times. You talk about it a lot on Twitter. How do you navigate being fascinated by science when it comes to weather, but also understanding that it can devastate a community?
It's tough. It's really tough because in this business, you see a lot of meteorologists who are excited about, oh, I get to cover a hurricane. Oh, I get to cover a tornado. But who wants to cover that stuff? Nobody. Like if you're really serious about your job, you don't want to, because it's devastation. It's catastrophic. It's people's lives being turned upside down. So it's really hard. First and foremost, you have to understand how these storms operate and how they work and, you know, how they form. But it's just like, my job is to be I'm a public servant. I have to tell you, hey, guys, it's a bad situation out there. You know, this is a deadly, whatever event it is, hurricane, tornadic. This is a deadly situation. You know, you need to take cover. You need to get out of your house. You need to go to the basement or, you know, whatever. And it's really hard. It's devastating to you, you know, and especially, I haven't done it here, but when I was in my other stations, after we report on it, a lot of times we go out. And I actually have done it here, I lied. But you go out and you look at the damage, you know, you're with the National Weather Service and you're surveying the damage, and it's horrible. I mean, I'm an emotional person. I cry a lot. And like, it's tough. It's really tough.
So how do you handle that when you're face to face with the people that a storm has affected?
Right. You know, you just, hopefully, like, they had a good outcome. And when you handle it, you just talk to them and you're just, you know, you're like, thank God that, you know, everything's okay. It's just things. You're here. Your family's here. The things, you know, it's just things that were blown away, or just things that, you know, disappeared. And that's just, you just have to find some positive out of it, because you're going there into their backyards, into something that has been, you know, completely destroyed. And you have to somehow, you know, just talk to them and just be kind of like a mentor, kind of just help them and guide them through it, because it's for me, it's a struggle. But it's funny because you find it. You, when you're there, you find the willpower, and you're just a champion for them.
What do you think about weather people being out in the elements to report on the elements?
I don't like it.
It doesn't make sense.
No,
to me.
I really don't like it. I'm not a fan. And some people, they have some training, but there's still, you still get those stories where storm chasers die when they're out in, you know, Oklahoma or out in the, you know, far the central plains. I don't like it. I don't ever want to be, you know, in that situation. Mother Nature is a beast, and we shouldn't really be playing with it like that. That's just what I think. That's my personal opinion. But you know, I would never start, you know, go out and storm chase that way like some of them do. They're right there in the tornado. And it's just not for me.
Even when I see people that are covering hurricanes, and I see them and they're like, okay, you know, I'm here. The hurricane is 60 miles out. And you see them and you just go, I'm trying to figure out if a steady cam might be effective enough.
Right.
Like for us to see the devastation of the storm, that we don't need to see the poor weather person like moving away, like being blown away by the wind to tell us what's going on.
I agree. And you know, a lot of times too, we tell people not to be in those elements, and I just, you know, that's, you know, I just, it's just not my thing.
Is there a place where you would love to study what the weather is? Like, is there a place where you would, okay, so here, let me just tell you. I told Annabelle of all this, and I'll tell you this. My dream job, when it's all over, I saw this when I went to Puerto Rico. There's a guy in Puerto Rico, Alicia, this is it for me. I don't even know anything about weather, and I want his job. So it's the weather guy for the Caribbean.
Okay.
This guy, I don't know his name. I'll find you a picture and I'll send it to you. This guy wears like a Hawaiian shirt and has a stuffed parrot on his arm.
On his shoulder?
Oh. It's so great. And I'm just sitting there going, at some point, this guy was like a well-respected Alicia Roman-esque meteorologist. At some point, like he lived in Ohio or somewhere. And then he was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to Puerto Rico and I'm going to be this guy for the rest of my life. So that's my goal. Now, and then look, obviously, if you go to the Caribbean, you have a lot of hurricanes, and it's been devastating for Puerto Rico overall. It's been horrible. Mm-hmm. But as far as the end of career path, I think that guy has it right. That's what I want to do.
Yes. Hawaiian shirt is not only on Friday, it's every day.
And you have a stuffed parrot.
Yeah. Maybe he should get a real parrot, because some of those parrots will just sit there and hang out.
See, when you work with animals, though, then there's a chance that the parrot's having a bad day. And then you could have a bad day. Speaking of which, what's the toughest day that you had on set that had nothing to do with devastation or people being left out of their homes, but like you just kept having snafus? Have you had any of those?
Yes. I had one recently, but no, I sometimes, okay, especially if I go on vacation too long and if I come back and work in the mornings, which I haven't worked in the mornings for a while, but if I come back and work in the mornings, I can't talk. I just, in the mornings, and you know how mornings news is, you're on every 10 minutes. And we would always just say, oh, the first show is just our practice show. Then you try to get to the next one and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't talk. I'm not forming words. They're not coming out. I mean, those days are crazy because, I mean, still, I've been doing TV now for 15, 16 years and I still beat myself up about it. And then I have to sit there and think, Alicia, you know, it's probably not as bad as what you think it is. Like, the viewers probably don't think that you're, you know, mumbling your words. And people are probably like, oh, she's drunk. She's just coming into work at 2:00 in the morning, wasted from a night out. And I'm not. It's lack of sleep, because when you work at that time in the morning, you wake up at 12:30 and you just, words are just not, you know, there.
People on your gram like, I saw Alicia out in them streets last night, and I've got the pictures
now
to prove
it. Now she's on in the morning. How's that girl do that?
How's she do it all? Thanks so much for coming in and hanging out.
Thank you.
It's always a delight
always
when you're
so
here.
Fun.
Check out Alicia Roman on NBC5. Follow her on Twitter at AliciaRomanNBC. She's great, and we love having her on the show. The Dean Davis boys are in the house. If you haven't met them, you're about to. It's going to be fun. I'm sure we're going to talk about Ant-Man because I have some thoughts. That's next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.